Welcome back to Crunch Time. It's time for the Crunch Exchange, brought to you by the Josh Cooley team of Keller Williams Realty. Alex presents the prospectus. Steve lets us know if he's buying, selling, or if it's pending. Sell your home worry-free with Josh Cooley, Keller Williams Realty.
Back the bell.
Welcome back to Crunch Time, final segment on a Wednesday. That means the Crunch Exchange.
Ding.
As you heard Emma say, I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports and ask him if he's buying or selling a prospectus involved with those stories. Let us start with college football. It actually happens in a couple of days. Gonna pause so everybody has a chance to jump up and down for a couple seconds.
Whee!
Okay. Obviously, with college football coming back, we're going to be Ducks heavy on this one. Starting with the biggest talking point question coming into every season, or basically the last few years, who is going to play the quarterback position for the Ducks? Seems pretty clear at this point that it's going to be Dakota Prukop who ends up starting, but now the big race revolves around who is going to be the primary backup behind him. And as we've seen throughout the years, even with Mariota, having a capable backup can mean absolutely everything for the success of a season. Now, the front runner at the beginning of fall camp was undoubtedly redshirt freshman Travis Johnson, but in the last 2 weeks, we've heard a shift towards Sheldon product, true freshman Justin Herbert. Darren Carrington said he and Prukop are basically the same guy in terms of production, moving the offense. Helford said he absolutely has a chance to be second string. And Dave Yost said he's been the best guy on the roster in terms of taking care of the ball. All of that said, Oregon is deep at quarterback, and conventional wisdom says you redshirt a true freshman if you have a veteran on the roster. The Ducks often go against conventional wisdom, especially when it comes to quarterbacks, but the prospectus. Oregon is likely to blow out UC Davis next week. That's the case. Justin Herbert plays against the Aggies.
Ah! I think if, in fact, as well as he's playing, if Wilson and Johnson are performing and they feel if Prukop gets hurt or they want guys in there to mop up, I think we're going to see Herbert follow the Mariota path and redshirt, I'm selling.
Staying with the Ducks and that UC Davis game, much has always made every non-conference schedule about if the Ducks will continue their sellout streak. Currently sits at 110. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That sounds
right. Okay. They've sold out the likes of Georgia State, South Dakota, Portland State, etc. But as recently as last week, we were running advertisements on our station about season ticket packages. The price always seems to be rising, even as the Ducks make ticket packages more fan-friendly and convenient to buy. Right now on GoDucks.com, there are season tickets available in all but 5 sections of the stadium that aren't designated for students, and single tickets available in 75% of the stadium sections for $49 a pop. Now, we still have a week and a half left until kickoff, which is plenty of time to move those seats one way or another, and we've seen the Ducks pull off miracles in ticket sales before to preserve the streak. Will they pull off another one? The prospectus, Oregon versus UC Davis will be sellout number 111.
I think they'll pull it off. It's not like, well, let's remember, they've gotten 57, 58, 59, 56, 5. An actual sellout is very negotiable here. I think they get it. If they sell out this one with no other dogs at home, the chances are it'll go throughout the rest of the season. I'm going to buy that. We hit 111 a week from Saturday.
Staying with the Ducks, moving things back on the turf. Oregon running backs coach Gary Campbell met with media members yesterday, voiced his opinion about his guy, Royce Freeman. His quote, "Everybody has their opinion and I got mine. He's the best damn guy in the country." Now, he is obviously biased, but Freeman is oddly one of the most overlooked backs in the country this offseason. All of the publicity coming from the Pac-12 revolves around Christian McCaffrey, and while most of that is justified, Freeman is actually the returning leader in touchdowns in the Pac-12 with 38, 13 touchdowns ahead of the next guy, and leads McCaffrey by 6 games in terms of 100-yard rushing performances. Thanks, Andy Mack on Twitter, for all that information. Outside of the conference, CBS Sports listed their preseason All-American team and had Freeman and McCaffrey second team, Dalvin Cook and Leonard Fournette on the first team. Both Freeman and Fournette, widely considered the best back in the country, have played the same amount of games, and Freeman has more yards, more touchdowns, more catches, more receiving yards. Basically, across the board is better statistically, but is he the best back? The prospectus. You buy or sell what Gary Campbell is selling.
First of all, Fournette runs against way better defenses, so we'll just leave that out there. But to call Royce Freeman the best back in the country, it's kind of like saying Leonard Fournette's the best back in the country. It's a legitimate statement. It's splitting hairs. They're both going to be two of the top 15, 16 picks in the NFL draft. So you can't technically prove him wrong. You can only say maybe it's this guy. So, yeah, I'm going to buy that.
Let's move on to the NFL. A lot has been made this offseason about the play of rookie quarterbacks. Jared Goff, many expected to walk into L.A., become the starter day one, and has struggled. But it's the Rams who aren't good at football, so you figure they'll throw in the towel at some point. Paxton Lynch hasn't quite found his footing yet in Denver, but Mark Sanchez is somehow playing like a rookie anyway, so he could be the starter sooner than later anyways. Carson Wentz has been injured in Philly, but returned to practice Monday. Looks like he could still beat out Sam Bradford at some point this season because he's Sam Bradford. Dak Prescott has been playing like he should be a starter, but obviously he has Tony Romo in front of him on the depth chart. That said, Tony Romo is as soft as Charmin and gets injured seemingly every week he plays. So here are those rookies: Goff, Prescott, Wentz, and Lynch. The prospectus: you buy or sell that every one of those guys starts a game this season?
Weebles. I'm really hearing bad things about Goff, that he might be third string. And with their defense and decent play, they may kind of be one of those 7-8 win teams late in the year. Just because that seems like a tall order.
Just one game.
I know. I get it. But I'm going to sell that. I almost went pending. I decided to sell.
Last one here. Signing off from the Olympics, a lot was made going into the games as the games went on about the many issues and fears that came up. Obviously, you heard about it weekly on What Are You Doing? Police going on strike, water eating people's skin, couches floating around in that water, single beds for 7-foot-tall athletes. You get it. Laundry list of fears. But after the games are over and we can look back at it, there really weren't that many things that actually went wrong. No athlete got sick or died from the water. And with the exception of Chinese hurdler Shi Dongpeng, who was thrown up on by a fake drunk person and robbed after it, the security was pretty good, obviously leaving out Ryan Lochte and his made-up robbery. No one we know of yet has contracted the Zika virus. Basically, hosting the Olympics is nearly an impossible thing to do perfectly, but essentially none of those fears we had coming into the games came to fruition. And completely ignoring the human rights violations that happened leading up to the games that seemingly happen in every city that hosts them, the prospectus: the Rio Games were a success.
Well, first of all, now I'm disappointed, because during my multi-state crime spree in the mid-80s, it never even dawned on me to use the fake vomit scheme. But
pretty amazing story. And it was like day one of the Olympics, too.
I mentioned this the other day. I think the only real negative story to come out of it is dummy dope, Ryan Lochte. Otherwise, I think we will look back on these games and remember some dazzling performances between Phelps and Bolt, in essence establishing themselves as the greatest in the history of the Olympics at their sport. I'm going to buy that. I'm calling it a success, despite the TV ratings. And that wraps another edition of the Crunch Exchange.